Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence with us this morning, all of you who are here in person and those of you who are joining us online. I have just a couple of announcements. Is this working? Can you hear me or should I just speak louder? No, we're good? Okay. Tomorrow evening, we are having our worship and music committee meeting. Usually it's on Wednesdays, but because we have our Wednesday evening Lenten worship, we're just shifting it to a Monday. Also, tomorrow evening is church council at 7. Wednesday, we have our senior citizens group at Mount Tabor at 10:30. And then that evening is our midweek Lenten worship service at 6:30. Gary Hedrick had surgery this week on his spine. So last Sunday, I let you all know that he had fallen. Well, he fell again last Saturday, but I didn't know about it on Sunday. So he fell. He went to Baptist Hospital. He had surgery on his spine. It's been a tough week, but he's actually doing well. He's making some progress. And sometime this week is going to be entering into a rehab center to help get himself back to a point where he can be home again. Bob Troutman has an ablation for his heart this Thursday, so we ask that you would hold Bob in prayer. And then last Sunday, I don't know if I announced last Sunday or not, but Gene Kepley had a stroke. Did I announce this last Sunday? I announced it Wednesday, okay. So Gene Kepley had a stroke about a week and a half ago, and it has really affected his cognition, his thinking, and his speech. And that coupled with his dementia, he's just having a really hard time. So he is now at Mount Vista in Denton. And I just ask that you pray for him and for his son, Michael, as he cares for him. We have a few birthdays this week. Terry Clark, Ty Heitman, Gavin Ferguson, and Mandy Lawrence. And also this week, Gary and Judy McLean are having an anniversary. They are doing well. Gary continues to have in-home physical therapy and some other therapies. He's still very insistent that he doesn't want to come back to church until he can walk back in on his own, but he is working very hard on that. So hopefully we will welcome them into our sanctuary again soon. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead to sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all peoples into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 15th chapter of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house of Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, so a slave is born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your own very issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought them all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give you this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear?
The Lord is my stronghold and my heart. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers close in against me to devour my flesh,
they, my fellows, and my enemies will stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. One thing I ask of God, one thing I seek.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek God in the temple.
For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter.
Places of sanctuary, and raise me high upon the rock.
Even now my head is lifted above the enemies who surround me.
Therefore I will offer sacrifice in the sanctuary, sacrifices of ritualism. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call.
Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. Seek my face.
Your face, O Lord, I will seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger.
Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God, my salvation.
Though my father and my mother forsake me,
the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
Lead me on the level path because of my oppressors.
Subject me not to the will of my foes. This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord and be strong.
Take heart and wait for the Lord.
The second reading is from Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in intimidating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, listen. I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward. Nora, do you want to come up too? Calvin, I got to tell you, we missed you on Wednesday night. I tried to make our time Wednesday night a little more conversational, and so I was asking the folks some questions, and they were being really shy, and somebody said, "We need Calvin here. Calvin would help us answer some of these questions." Do you think they were tired? Maybe that was it. Maybe that was it. Oh, your mom was tired. That's why. No. I don't say that to make you feel bad for not coming on Wednesday. I just want you to know that I think everybody out here loves the way that you help us think about things and the way that you ask questions and help us answer them. So I want to see if you can help us think about something today. Do either of you know what a metaphor is? What's a metaphor?
Oh God. It's like an expression. So like, it's not like truthful, like the apple falls far from the tree. It's not like the apple's gonna fall far from the tree, even though that could happen, an apple could fall far from the tree. It's just like it's to express something. It's just convey emotion or...
To convey something, to express something. Do you know what a metaphor is? No? Well, the way that metaphors, I guess I don't need both microphones, do I? The way that metaphors are used in the Bible is they offer us a word picture, right? So I know some of the Bibles that I've given out, they have pictures for you guys, but my Bible doesn't have pictures. And so the words sort of create a picture in my mind. I call them word pictures. Those are metaphors. Well, in the gospel lesson that I just read, Jesus gives us a word picture of himself, saying, "Just like a mother hen, I have wanted to gather you like I gather my brood." So I want to say, you know, often in the church, we have thought about God as a father, right? That's what we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." Jesus even calls God Father. Have you ever thought about God as a mother? Have you? Can you say that again?
Fluid. Does he not even have a gender? Is he just gender fluid?
That's a really good question. So actually, God does not have a gender. Jesus has a gender. Jesus is a male, and so we use he pronouns. But God isn't male or female, but because at the time of Jesus, there wasn't gender-neutral language. Actually, do you want to come sit over here so I can look at you when I talk to you? Because I feel like I can't see you. So, yeah, there wasn't gender-neutral language, and so they had to pick one or the other. And so the writers of Scripture used male pronouns for God. But you're right, God is not male or female, which is part of why I want us to think about what it might look like for us if we also thought about God as mother. So what are some things that you love about your mom or that your mom does for you that are comforting or meaningful? What are some things that you're thankful about for your moms? Okay, so Calvin says his mom understands him more than his dad does. Okay. Is your mom really good at cuddling you and snuggling you? And when she cuddles you and snuggles you, does it feel so comforting and you feel really safe? So our moms know us really well. Sometimes, do you feel like your mom knows what you're feeling and thinking before you even tell her with your words? Like she just kind of knows? Yeah, she gave birth to you guys. That makes sense. Your mom does know that about you. Does your mom take care of you when you're sick? Well, dad's at work. What kind of things does your mom do when you're sick that make you feel better? She makes you chicken noodle soup. Does she like sit on the couch with you and watch movies or read books to you? Have you ever heard the expression a mama bear? Like somebody might be a mama bear? Is your mom really protective of you? Like if somebody were to pick on you or be mean to you, your mama gets protective and kind of fierce. Nobody messes with her baby. His mama is strong and will beat you up if you bother him. Keep that in mind, everybody. So these are a lot of wonderful things that our moms do for us. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? There are so many things that our moms do for us. Gave birth to us, but even after they give birth to us, they love us and care for us and comfort us and protect us in so many ways. And so Jesus, in today's gospel lesson, by comparing himself, by comparing God to a mother hen, is helping us with a word picture to think about all the ways that God cares for us and protects us and is fierce and comforting. All of the things that a mother does for us, God does for us as well. So I want you just to think about from time to time God as both a mother and father, because there are times where I need the tender, loving care of a mama, and God offers that to me, but it helps for me to think about God as mother. And then there are times where maybe I need what kind of love I would typically get from a father, and God does that. But to expand our imaginations, to make our picture of God bigger, to include both a mother and a father, I hope that's helpful for you guys, because it's certainly been helpful for me. Yes.
First reading, it was, you know how he cut the animal in half? Was that like did they really like think animal abuse was that bad back then? Or were they like, let's just go chop an animal today?
Whoa. You know, as Kim was reading that out loud, I wondered what you were hearing. Because that, to be honest, there are several things in each of the scriptures that were read today that are really hard things to read and to hear. And sometimes when I'm reading scripture, I think, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is in the Bible. They're chopping up animals and all kinds of things like this. And the simplest answer I can give, and even at that, it's not simple. Back in the time of the Old Testament, in that culture, in that era, in that culture, they did animal sacrifices where they believed that if God was angry or God was upset, that if they sacrificed an animal, that it would make God less angry or less upset. And so as part of that culture, what they were trying to do was to make God a little bit happier with them. But it really doesn't make sense in our culture, does it? Ooh, Kelvin says the Bible is really, really dark. It is dark, and it's very hard to read in some places. I will completely agree with you. I do know what you mean by that, yes. Yes. There is no way to hide it. There are some really hard and really complicated things in Scripture. But here's the cool thing about Scripture, that even in the midst of really hard things and really complicated things, God still somehow shows up in the midst of it, and we are still able to see that God loves us and cares for us. And even in the imperfectness of the world and the hard things of Scripture, God loves us, and God wants to gather all of the people of the world under God's wings and protect them and care for them. Yes, it is very hard. Yes, I agree with you. Well, on that note, should we pray? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, do you want to repeat after me, or do you just want me to pray? How about I pray this time? Okay. God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your church all over the world and we give you thanks for our church here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We give you thanks that that your word comes to us just like you come to us, in the messiness, in the hard places of life. God, we thank you that you love us not just like a father, but like a mother, that you long to gather all of the world into your warm embrace, to gather them in under your wings like your brood. May we all be reminded that you call to us and that you invite us to come find shelter in you. And God, we confess that sometimes we struggle with the things that we read in Scripture. Not only do some of the things not make sense, but some of the things that we read are really unsettling. They make us angry, they make us upset, and sometimes we feel a little bit horrified at what we read. But God, help us to see that in the midst of the complicatedness of your word, that you still come to us. Help us to read words of love and hope and comfort and promise in your word. Help us to meet you there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up and for listening and for all of your good questions. Calvin, I think one of the things that you help us with is you put words to some of the things that we all think about and wonder about, but we maybe feel a little bit afraid to talk about it in front of others. And so thank you for that. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are countless gifts that children give to us, and one of them is the gift of their imaginations. Children, I think, through their imaginations, help us to think and dream and live in ways that are beyond our imaginations. As we grow up and we become older, other things occupy spaces in our minds and our hearts where once our imaginations ran free. And I think they help remind us of that. I recently read a prayer from an Old Testament scholar named Walter Brueggemann that said, "O God, break open our imaginations that we might see a world decisively shaped by your love." O God, break open our imaginations that we might see a world decisively shaped by your love. Sometimes it takes our imaginations to see God and God's love in the world around us. God and God's love are always in the world around us, but it's not always easy to see. Thankfully, Scripture is full of images and metaphors, word pictures that can stir up our imaginations and help us to see. So as we ask God to break open our imaginations to see the ways that God dwells with us now, my hope is that we will see far more ways that God's love is shaping us and the world around us. We sometimes need our imaginations to see God in the world around us, because God doesn't always come to us and to the world according to our expectations. The truth is that God comes to us in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. Sometimes we can get so accustomed to the image of God that we are most comfortable with, or the image of God that we prefer, or sometimes we stick to just a couple of these word pictures of God. But I think this is to our own detriment, because God is so much bigger than just one or two metaphors. God is just so much bigger than we can even begin to imagine. Scripture is full of metaphors and images, and I think if we ask God to break open our imaginations so that we can explore more images of God, I believe that God will hear that prayer and answer it. So let's look at one of those images presented for us today in the gospel. First, I need to confess to you that I am a city girl. I was born and raised in the city, quite far away from any barnyard. I'm much more comfortable navigating the train and bus map of Chicago than I am navigating my way around a barnyard. So I have very limited firsthand knowledge and experience of God as a hen. I do know enough, however, to know that a hen is a female chicken. So maybe I can get a couple points for that, huh? Okay. Remember, I'm also a vegetarian, so talking about chicken is a little bit foreign in that way too, but this week I did some research because I wanted to better understand what Jesus might have meant when he likened himself to a hen in this passage from Luke. One of the things that I found most interesting is that a hen makes a bunch of different clucking noises. And fear not, I'm not going to replicate them for you this morning. But there is one call that signals danger. And immediately and instinctually, it prompts her chicks to race to their mother, probably clumsily tripping over themselves, feathers flying as they scramble. It's a really sweet image, this blur of fluff as the cute chicks try to get to their mama. But it's not what happens in the passage in Luke. Listen to Jesus' words. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, a city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." And you were not willing. It's a striking image, a mother hen clucking out, calling and inviting and waiting for her chicks to come to her, to be gathered together under her wings. And we don't come. How often has this been true of us, that we don't come? We are not willing to come and be gathered under our mother hen's wings. Still, our mother hen calls to us and invites us and waits for us to be gathered under her wings. Perhaps the reason that we are not willing is because we are waiting for a different kind of God. A God with a surer security than a mother hen. Perhaps we want a different kind of God, one with a different kind of strength and protection than a mother hen can provide. Maybe we are waiting more for someone like a fox, like King Herod in this story, whose power and cunning are far more seductive than a mother hen. We'd rather have a God who demonstrates worldly power, who demonstrates worldly strength. But perhaps what we need most is not a fox-like God who wields his power with sly intelligence and sharp teeth, but a hen who calls to us with longing and insistence, her wings held out patiently and courageously they are held open. Perhaps what we need the most is a mother hen who invites us into belonging, who offers us and all people welcome, gathers us together. A mother hen who draws us in under her bony, feathery arms, which are wide open. A mother hen who calls us home, who is waiting for us to come. I find it a bit shocking and startling that of all the birds that Jesus might have identified himself with, he picked a chicken. Debbie Blue, a Lutheran pastor up in Minnesota, wrote a book on biblical birds. And she too agrees that of all of the birds, maybe Jesus could have picked something a little more majestic or a little more dazzling, certainly a little more elegant than a chicken. Right? This image of a mother hen is a loving image, but it's not particularly dignified. Chickens, when they are alive, are dirty. They're kind of dumb. They're fairly defenseless from predators. They're smelly, they're loud. And chickens, when they're dead, are the birds that we see sliced up and gathered by body part and packaged in styrofoam sitting on the shelves at the Food Lion. Why? Why of all of the birds would Jesus choose to identify himself as a chicken? It almost feels a little sacrilegious, don't you think? Why not something majestic like an eagle? Or something a little more pure like a dove or a sweet singing lark? Or even something nice and kind of normal like a mallard duck? All of these would have been much better choices. But Jesus identified himself as a chicken, a mother hen. The chicken was no impressive animal in Jesus' day, just like it is now. They are still beady-eyed and boisterous. And I think for many of us, this image has only gotten worse in our time, primarily because of the horrendous industry that surrounds these birds. This image for us modern hearers may bring to mind the poultry processing in the U.S., where billions of chickens are crammed one on top of another in compact crates, where they're pumped with antibiotics. While alive, they are defeathered and hung by their feet and spun around on a conveyor belt, and then they are prematurely slaughtered to meet the insatiable demand of consumers. Why? Why did Jesus choose to identify himself as a chicken? It was a scandalous metaphor, and it's still a scandalous metaphor. But think about it. Jesus is quite scandalous. He's scandalous in how he came to us. God in Jesus became a human. God gave up any amount of dignity and majesty and purity and power and showed up in the backwater town of Bethlehem to a teen mom as a helpless baby, born in a barnyard scene. He was placed in a feeding trough, which was probably filled with smelly hay. But Jesus is full of scandal, especially in the Gospel of Luke. It is to the shepherds that the good news of Jesus' birth is first announced. This would have been shocking and scandalous. Shepherds in that time were not nice and gentle and respectable figures. Shepherds represented those on the fringe, those on the margins of society. Yet it is to the shepherds that God chose to reveal God's birth in Christ first. A significant part of who Jesus is and Jesus' mission in the world was to bring those who are cast out close to the heart of God, to raise up those who are beaten down, to bring those who are on the extremities of the social order close to the heart of God. This is why in Luke, a peasant girl sings a song of revolution in the Savior's coming. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his servant. God lifts up the lowly and scatters the proud. Think also about the scandalous prodigal son who is welcomed home by a scandalous parent, whose compassion is extravagant, and whose love is reckless. Jesus is scandalous. He comes to us in the flesh. He gets down on the ground with us. He meets us right in the middle of our mess. He meets us in ways that we often think are impure and dirty and unfit for him. So maybe this is a really good metaphor and word picture for us in this season of Lent, when we are knee deep in remembering the scandalous life that Jesus led. A life that was so scandalous that it angered and infuriated the powers that be of his time so much so that they executed him. We are journeying along with Jesus to a scandalous cross and an even more scandalous empty tomb. So now that I think about it, perhaps there is no better image for us to think about as it relates to God. Perhaps there is no better image to remind us and prepare us for our Lenten journey than a chicken. Amen.
With the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. You gather the church into a community of mercy and grace. Unify Christians around the globe in efforts to proclaim good news, even in the face of opposition. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You create the entire universe and call it good. Hinder those who would cause further destruction to our planet's fragile ecosystems, and magnify the cause of those who advocate for thoughtful stewardship of the Earth's resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You raise up leaders committed to love and justice. Nurture in those who govern patience to receive criticism, openness to new ideas, and courage to change course when needed for the sake of the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You hear us when we cry to you. Attend to those expecting a child and console those who have experienced miscarriage. Comfort veterans enduring post-traumatic stress. Shield those endangered by domestic violence. Uphold those who are ill or grieving, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifah, Bob, Sandra, Jana, and our friends and family listed in the bulletins, and those we name now aloud or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, you kindle faith that moves us into action. Help us to serve others and the world with your love and grace. Give us all a renewed sense of vocation. Lord, in your mercy, you welcome us into your heavenly realm. We give thanks for those whose labors on earth are ended and who now rest with you. On the final day, gather all of us with them in your loving arms. Lord, in your mercy,
accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need. For the sake of Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is food and drink for the journey. Come, take and be filled.
Take away the sin of the world.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Into a weary world, share the good news.